Okay. The Gemara on the bottom of Kof Kof Zayin Amud Aleph brings a number of different actions that a person can perform, where we say they are shisha dvarim, that Adam Ochel Peirusim Olam Hazeh Vekeren Kayem Eslol Olam Haba, they eat the fruit from this world. Tosfos says that it means that if we say Schar Mitzvos Bayam Aleka, it just means that it's Machriya him, the Kaf Schus, if he has these particular actions in his corner. Ve'elohen, Hachnastas Orchen, Uvika Cholim, Ve'iyun Tfila, Ve'ashkamas Beis HaMidrash, Ve'megadu Bon of the Time of Torah, Ve'adonis Chaveru the Kaf Schus. So one of the six, the last of the six items is Donis Chaveru the Kaf Schus, somebody who is judging somebody favorably, gives them the benefit of the doubt. So then the Gemara asks, but then we have another Mishnah that doesn't list all of these things. It says, Ilubram Shadam Oke Ose Osame Oke Osame Alam Seva Kera Kayem Osalam Abag, Ilubram Kibit Avaim, Minos Hasodim Abag, Shalom Minotam Lachavero, Isamu Torah Keneged Kulam. So it didn't mention, for example, Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash, it didn't mention Yin Tfilo, it didn't mention Danis Chavero the Kav Schus, it didn't mention Biko Cholim. So honey in midi akhlin alone implies that it's only these particular matters that the person eats the peiros b'olam hazeh and mekeren es kayem es l'olam haba. So says the Gemara, haninami, no, those that are in the first category are b'hani shaykhi, are shayach in the second category as well. How are they all shayach in the category, in the second category? So Rashi gives an explanation. For example, achnasas orchim, avika cholim, haynu gemilas chasadim, those are included within gemilas chasadim. You visit the sick and you take care of guests. V'yun tefila, and you're going to daven with proper kavana, haynu b'chlal gemilas chasadim. That's also included within gemilas chasadim. How is that? Tiksiv, Gomel Nivsho Navsho Ish Chasid, you're doing the Chesed for your nefesh. Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash, Yigidu Banim with Tam HaTorah, Hainu Tam HaTorah. These are all included in Tam HaTorah. What about Danas Chaveru the Kav Schus? What about judging your fellow favorably? So what is that included within? So says Rashi, that's included within Haba Shalom. That's included within the last item that was mentioned before Tam HaTorah Keneged Kulam, namely Haba Shalom Bein Odom L'Chaveru. They're bringing peace between people because this particular action of judging people favorably, giving them the benefit of the doubt, and you say that I'm going to give the person the benefit of the doubt that they haven't done something wrong. Often it's really the benefit of the doubt in the way they've interacted with you. You interact with somebody and sometimes it seems like they said something nasty to you, like they did something that was nasty to you, and you say, no, they didn't mean it, and they really meant well, and I'm misinterpreting, and I'm overly paranoid, or whatever else. Anusaya, maybe he was under difficult circumstances, or the Toba Niskavin, or he really meant well. So then, that maintains a good relationship, if you're able to say that about somebody. So, Yei Shalom Beinem. So that causes shalom. So according to Rashi, we see that the whole purpose or emphasis of that as of Dan Chaveru the Kav Schus is that it helps to create a more shalomdik, a more peaceful society. It helps to warm the hearts of fellow men towards each other. That's Rashi's explanation. There is a different explanation, which is offered by the Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, Al HaTorah, his commentary to Parshas Kedoshim Al HaTorah. So he says, what's going on over here with this whole business of the Havei Danes Kol Adam the Kav Schus, that you're supposed to judge everybody favorably? What is it based upon? So we have it in our Gemara. Obviously, it's also a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah above, has this notion that you should be Havei Danes Kol HaAdam the Kav Schus. And it's derived in Maseches Shavuos and Daf Lamed from a pasuk in Kedoshim. That's why he has the commentary in Parshas Kedoshim, or Betzedek Tishbot Amisecha, that you're supposed to judge your fellow favorably. That pasuk is utilized by the Gemara to derive a number of different halachos, that you're supposed to treat Baalei Din. If you're a judge, you're supposed to treat Baalei Din the same. You can't allow one person to speak for a long time and say to the other person, I'm only going to allow you to speak a little bit. And there are other dinim, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that from here it's written in the singular, so we see if you have like a dayan mubcha, that he can be dayan yechidi, he can judge it by himself, that a person who's rai ledung should be done. So we have different halachos that are learned from a set of tishbot amitecha, and one of the halachos that's learned from it in the Masechta Shavuos and Daf Lamed is that you should midanes ha'adam lekapskos, that you should judge somebody. You should judge somebody favorably. So the Ma'aril Diskin asks, "Nu, so what is this based upon?" He said, "On some level, it seems like eich nase sheke b'nafshenu, that if you see with your own eyes that somebody's doing something that looks like it's bad, that looks like it's wrong, so on what basis should you construe some sort of far-flung interpretation that might not even be emistic in order to be done unfavorably?" He assumes that sometimes it's going to be a little bit contrary to the simple facts. So he says that it's to create a more observant and a more refined society. Because if you have a society where one person sins, and everybody knows that the person sinned, and they're part of the same community, so suddenly sin isn't so terrible. Look, this person is going out to the nightclubs, and this person is spending all of their time watching inappropriate material on the internet, and this person is committing adultery. So, you know what? It's apparently, for the second person, it doesn't seem like as big of a breach. And then if there are two people doing it, so if the third person says, well, you know, when in Vegas, you know, then you... what's the expression?
Do as the vegans do.
What happens in Vegas stays
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So I'm in Vegas, so you know I'm staying in Vegas. So therefore, I'll do what they do with Vegas. So the person will have this type of an attitude, and that will cause a corrosion of the entire community. And if you're done, everybody in the cops close. So then that keeps everybody on the straight path, because every single person will say, look, everybody here really is a tzaddik. This person who looked like he committed adultery, really it wasn't at all. And this person who I thought was doing some other maisa geneva, really it wasn't geneva at all. And everybody is doing, fulfilling all of their mitzvahs properly, so that's more of an inspiration that I will be uplifted, that I want to follow everybody else. And in my mind, everybody else is a tzaddik, so therefore I will be more inspired to act properly as well. So that's Rabbi Yehoshua Leib Diskin's innovative interpretation of this particular limit. Yes.
Some mefarshim on Perkei Avos try to make like distinctions in what their reputations are. So if someone has a reputation of a tzaddik, then you shouldn't try to make far-flung things. But if they're a rasha, then you shouldn't, because probably if someone's a tzaddik, then they're probably really not, and it's not so far-flung in the end.
So that's sort of interesting. So the Gemara here has three stories. The Gemara in the Akkav Kav Zayin Amabes has three stories where it looked like people were doing all kinds of shenanigans. One was a person who was Maisiv Adam Echad, Shiyarod, the Galil HaElyo Meniska Reza Balabayas, that he was hired by a Balabayas. It looked like the Balabayas was blowing him off and not paying his wages, but he judged the Balabayas favorably, and it turned out that he received his full wages with extra reward in the end. And he explained that with respect to every single unlikely scenario to justify the cruel behavior of the Baal HaBayis who didn't pay him anything, he had some sort of a favorable interpretation, and every favorable interpretation was borne out, that the Baal HaBayis was Maktish, all of his possessions, L'Shamayim, therefore he didn't have anything to pay at that moment in time. So he had all of those favorable interpretations. Then the next two stories are a little bit different in the sense that they're not about Stamo Baal HaBayis, but they're about the next one is Maisa B'Chassid Echad. If somebody was a Chassid, presumably that means it was somebody who was a Tzadik Meforsam, that he was known to be somebody who was very, very righteous. And in that story, it appeared like he did something which was even much more suspicious. It wasn't just an act of meanness that a person said, oh, I don't have anything to pay you right now. But it was mamish, it looked like an outright avera, that he went into a hotel or something, to a malone, and he had a girl whom he had redeemed, basically sleep together in the same room as himself, where it certainly looked suspicious. You would think that would look very suspicious, and yet, nonetheless, his tamidim were done also the kapskus, they judged him favorably, and it turned out that it was favorable, that it was appropriate, because there was good reason for him to keep her with him. He didn't do anything with her. He was just rescuing her from everybody else. And then there was another story that the Gemara tells about Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, that it was necessary for somebody to go to the Melech, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. They had to go to a matronisa. They had to go to a stately woman. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi went to the stately woman, and he went inside her house, and he was all alone. And then in both of the cases, not only were they alone with a woman, but they went and they were tovel in a mikveh afterwards. which looked even more suspicious. And in every single case, the Rabbi, the Chassid Echad, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi favorably, and it turned out that the interpretation was in fact correct. And the statement that is made as sort of the conclusion of every single one of these stories is Keshem Shedantuni Lizchus, just as you have judged me favorably, Hamakom Yadin Eskam Lizchus, so to a Kadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably as well. So in these stories, the last two stories involve somebody who looks like he's a tzaddik meforsam. And the first story is just Tama Bala Bias. So from these stories, we see that there's an inyan of judging favorably, both with respect to a tzaddik meforsam and with respect to a Stam Bala Bias. The difference between the stories might be, in the latter two stories, it's much more suspicious. It looks like there was a Maisa, a Veira outright of being together with a woman, and all the circumstances certainly point in that direction. Alone with the woman, he goes and he's tovel in a mikveh afterwards, and nonetheless, they were down the kap schus, so even when it was extremely far-fetched, of course it was borne out. In the first story, it was somebody who just said, I don't have anything to pay you wages right now, we don't necessarily have the same indication of outright Veira. But nonetheless, we see that the worker was Don the Kapskos and he was given credit for it. So it could be that there's a different level. When we're dealing with a Tzadik Meforsam, when we're dealing with a Chassid, then there's a higher level of being Don the Kapskos even when the circumstances are very implausible. And when you're dealing with Stam Bala Bias, where you don't necessarily know that he's a Tzadik Meforsam, but nonetheless, if there are two possible interpretations, either to be Don the Kaf Skus or Don the Kaf Kova, it's appropriate to be Don the Kaf Skus. So these gradations actually are codified. As you mentioned, in the Meforshim on the Mishnah, the Rambam codifies, or Rabbeinu Yonah codifies, basically different gradations between somebody who is either an Adam Beinoni or somebody we don't know one way or another. That's the first category. Second category is somebody who is known as a tzaddik gomer, he's known as a tzaddik. And the third category is somebody who is known as a rasha. Yes?
The question on the story is, what does it mean for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be done like Kaf Sechut to somebody? It can't be the same thing that it means in the stories. Because in the same stories, it looked like something happened one way. They're done like Kaf Sechut, then it didn't really happen. Obviously, a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows whether they did the thing right or not. It sounds like done like Kaf Sechut for a Kadosh Baruch Hu means that even though they did something wrong, nevertheless, he's going to be lenient. What do you think that means for Kadosh Baruch Hu?
So it depends on how expansively you interpret the category of Don the Kaf Sechus. So let's get to that in just a moment, okay? In terms of the breakdown of the different categories, so the Rambam writes, if I don't know one way or another, so basically there's this principle based on Masechet Tishbot Amitecha, that you're supposed to be machriya somebody the Kaf Sechus. If the person's a tzaddik meforsam, so even if it appears from the circumstances that there is almost no justification for his action, you have to find even a very docha gadol explanation, says the Rambam, to justify his actions if he's a tzaddik gamor. And he says this is the sort of, this implicates the flip side of the equation that we had earlier on in Daf Tzadi Zayin, in Maseches Shabbos and Adaf Yutes and Maseches Yuma, that a choshev b'ksherim lo kebegufo, that when you're dealing with somebody who is an absolute kosher, that they're a tzadi gomer, they're such a kosher, so you have to worry that your mamish not allowed this. In addition to this sort of positive commandment of etzedek tishbot amitecha, there is a negative consequence that you're not allowed. There's a negative prohibition of some sort that you're not allowed to be choshev b'ksherim, as we see that when Moshe Rabbeinu said that v'hem lo yaminu li, that he was worried that B'nai Yisrael wouldn't listen to him, and then he was told that he should put his hands inside of b'chekecha, right? Aveinah yadcha b'chekecha, v'nei yadom mitzaras kasholik. And then it turned white, that he basically ended up getting tzaras, some temporary tzaras, because of the fact that he was choshev b'ksherim. So we see from it, there's sort of a separate mitigating principle, says the Rambam. Then when you're dealing with people who are meforsam, their righteousness, in this case, it's Klal Yisrael, you're dealing with people who are meforsam and their righteousness, so then you have to sort of go to the opposite extreme But being down the kafskus, even when there's only a very minimal possible argument of kvetch, of justification, in order to fulfill the requirements towards how one should view the actions of a tzaddik. And then the Rambam concludes by saying, if he's a roshim meforsam, then even if there's only a slight, a minimal chance that the actions can be interpreted as being a mamish vicious, as being a mamish an act of wickedness, you're obligated to interpret the action towards the scale of rishis when it comes to somebody who is a rasha, and that's based on a pasuk in Mishlei, Chavav, Kihanin Kolo, Al Tamin Bo, Kisheva, Toivos, Bulibo, and that you should not trust in any way the indications of a rasha that he's acting righteously because he has Sheva, Toivos, Bulibo. And another pasuk is quoted by Rabbeinu Yonah as well in Mishlei Chav Aleph that says, "Kan gam maskil tzadik the base rasha misaleh v'shehim l'ra." That even if a tzadik understands when he is dealing with a rasha, when he goes into the home of a rasha, even if the rasha tries to demonstrate that he's just as big a tzadik as everybody else, so he understands that it's all lefnim, that it's all just pretend. That he wants to fool people into falling into his company and following his path, so he fools them into thinking that he's a tzaddik. But a real tzaddik is able to see through this and is able to understand that he's really a rasha. Now the big difference in the way that the Rambam differentiates between these categories and Rabbeinu Yonah, there are three big differences. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Mishnah says that not only is the obligation to judge favorably with respect to somebody you don't know what his actions are, that's what the Rambam talks about, but this is mistabit from the Rambam as well. The Rambam just doesn't say it in the Perusha Mishnah. Ben Yonah says it also applies to an Ish Beinoni, that I know for a fact what the person's ma'isim are, it's just that he's neither a tzaddik nor a rasha, he's an Ish Beinoni. So he's an Ish Beinoni, so that is when we have this obligation, if I could have an interpretation either l'chova or l'schus, that I should be, I should interpret l'schus. And with respect to the rasha, and the tzaddik, so he says that to the obligation to judge a tzaddik favorably is even if there's zero possibility of interpreting his actions l'schus, and even if you know that he did an avera. And what falls into this category is the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yutes that says in Misa Tamal Chacham, right, she'ava avera b'layla al tahare rachava b'yom. You saw Tamal Chacham who did an avera at night, so you shouldn't have any room again, even though he did an avera. Pasha says he did an avera. You shouldn't have any kiruim against him during the daytime. Shema asa tshuva, because maybe he did tshuva. And then the Gemara says, Shema asa tshuva saka daitech levadai asa tshuva. For sure he did tshuva. So you're not allowed to write the old joke that I once heard from Rabbi Dan Lewis. For sure he sat down and he wrote a tshuva justifying what he did, right? So, but you're not allowed to, even if you saw vivados that he did an aveira, you're supposed to be dan l'kafskus. So Rabbeinu Yonah, just to go back to your question before, Rabbeinu Yonah clearly understands that the notion of being dan l'kafskus even includes this type of situation where there's no justification that can be offered whatsoever. You saw him perform an outright avera. Nonetheless, if he's a tzaddik gomer, you have to assume that he did tshuva afterwards. That's also part of being dan l'kafskus. So that could be one way of interpreting sort of the bracha that was given at the end of all of these cases of Makom Yadin Oskar, the schus, that even if you have faulted, even if you have really sinned, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu should be done in the Kaf schus, that you have the capacity of bettering yourself, you have the capacity of doing tshuva. Now, and he says as well, Rabbeinu Yonah, with respect to the third category of Rasha, so he, in this, because he quotes that second pasuk in Mishlei, of the Rasha who's mamish doing ma'aseh tzidkus. He's mamish performing mitzvahs and so forth. So he says that even in such a case, if the person is a Rasha meforsam, nonetheless, you should not judge him favorably. You have to assume that he's up to some sort of shenanigans. So in that sense, he goes a step further than the Rambam in both the tzaddik category and the rasha category. In the tzaddik category, the Rambam says, judge him favorably if you can just find some sort of scintilla of justification, and Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know, there's zero scintilla of justification, so we did tshuva. In the rasha case, the Rambam says that even if there's, don't judge him favorably, even if there's a scintilla of a possibility that what he did was really wicked, and Rabbeinu Yonah goes further and says that even if what he did was completely righteous, assume that the whole thing is just being done for some ulterior motive that itself is wicked in nature. Now, in the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva codifies these categories as a matter of halakha, that's in Shar Gimel, Reish Yud Ches, in the Shari Tshuva. Yes, I'm sorry?
Okay, so now that we judge him and say that he's up to shenanigans, how does that help us? Why are we trying to show that he's up to shenanigans? Meaning, okay, we say that in Russia, you shouldn't judge him favorably and judge that he's up to shenanigans, and what's that going to do now that you judge him that he's up to shenanigans?
So it's interesting. So our own rabbi, Daniel Feldman, says that maybe there's an afkamina between the Tamim. That if you hold that the Tam of Hebe Adonis Kol Adam, the Kapskos, is based on sort of this Bein Adam Lechaveru trying to force the Shalom and so forth. So maybe you should even judge a Russia favorably. But if the Tam is based on what Rabbi Yeshua Lev Diskin said, that you don't want to be affected unduly by your surroundings, so maybe if you're going to think too highly of somebody who's clearly an outright Russian Mephorsim, so then you're more likely to be affected by your shenanigans. Not sure. That's one, you know, possible interpretation. Right. One could argue further that maybe that's the difference between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rambam saying that even a Rasha, you could be down the cop exclusive. He clearly did something which was a Maisa Mitzvah. Rabbeinu Yonah saying, no, you have to be worried about his influence. And since you have to worry about his influence, therefore, even under those circumstances, you shouldn't be dying in the Kaf's course. So the way that he codifies this in Simon Reish Yud Ches, he codifies it as follows. He says, "V'nei kisira adam asher yidah b'davar." If you see somebody who says something, he adds in the Shari Tshuva, he adds this notion of saying something. Up until now, most of the cases that are dealt with in the Gemara, that are dealt with in the Mefarshei Mishnah, it's somebody who does a pe'ula. The Rambam explicitly talks about a poel, somebody who does a pe'ula. So here he adds, even if somebody says something, and there's a question about favorably or unfavorably interpreting what the person said. Did the person say something that was Lashon Hara? Did the person say something which was Motzi Shem? Did the person say something that was Nibble Pet? It's even a question of somebody said something, or did somebody say something that indicated they had done a Maaseh Aveira? Oh, yes, and Maaseh. Well, you see somebody who does something, but Yesh Lishbo Dvaro Maaseh, and you can judge what his words or his actions, Litzad Tovah, Litzad Eschus. You can either judge it favorably or unfavorably. So if the person is Yirei Elokim, so then you're obligated to judge him favorably, al derech emes, that's the appropriate the way of viewing somebody who is a tzaddik. Gam ki yad adav akara v'note yoter eitzel adas kaf chobe. Even if it seems more likely than not that the person did something inappropriate, if he's a tzaddik, then you're, as we said before, you're not supposed to be choshe b'ksher, right? Not supposed to be choshe b'ksher. And if he is in the intermediate category, he's neither a tzaddik nor a rasha. It's interesting here, the Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't use the term of tzaddik gomri. He just says if the person's a Yirei Elokim. Just enough that he's a Yirei Elokim. You know, he has Yirei Shemayim, so you should judge him favorably, even if it seems more likely that the correct interpretation is the Chovah. If he's a Beinoni, that sometimes he'll sin and sometimes he'll do the right thing, but it's sort of 50-50. So then, you're obligated to be makriya him the kafskos. So he quotes our gemara. So he holds it's a mitzvah sesei min haTorah. Shenema v'sedek tishpot hamisecha. Based on the gemara and shvus, v'madara note the kafchova. And if it is more likely based that this Beinoni did something that was the kafchova, so then he says there is no obligation that you have to be done in the kaf's close. If it looks like based on this scenario, like if we had the case of the chassid echad, we had the case of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and instead of them being tzaddikim, they would be beinonim, so then there would be no obligation to be done in the kaf's close. Then he says, in such a case, it should just be a suffix, that your obligation is ve'al tachriyeh the kaf kova. Your obligation is that you shouldn't be machriyeh the kaf kova, in an unfavorable direction. But there's no obligation when it seems more likely than not that the Beinoni did an Aveira, there's no obligation to assume that it was in a favorable direction. When is there an obligation with the Beinoni? When it could be 50% this way, 50% that way, that's when you have the obligation. So it could be that maybe, just getting back to our Gemara, we're looking for Mekoros for all of this, right? So getting back to our Gemara, so maybe that's the first case. Maybe the first case it was... the first case was not dealing with a chassid per se, or with somebody who was a tzaddik meforsam, but was dealing with just a regular person. But there it wasn't as clear cut that there were any beirus involved, as I wanted to suggest earlier. And if the person, mostly is a rasha, most of his actions are the ro, you have tested him, you have determined that he doesn't have yiras Hashem. So then, he doesn't say you have the right to determine that his actions were improper. He indicates that's your obligation, that's a tachriya, that this is appropriate. It's appropriate for you to interpret the actions disfavorably. Shenana, and as we said earlier, this makes sense, I guess, according to the Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin formulation. Shenana Amar, Maskil Tzadik L'Reis Rasha, Mesalik B'Shoyim L'Ra. That he quotes the pasuk from Mishlei that we quoted earlier. That's the pasuk that he brings, that the Rabbeinu Yonah brings in his parasha ala Mishnah. Maskil tzadik reis rasha masal b'sham l'or l'ra. Kvayik dam n'lecha perush. Fine. So that's his categorization of these different categories. Not found per se in Shulchan Aruch, but you will find both of these, the concepts of number one, that you're not supposed to be choshed b'ksherim, and number two, that you have an obligation to be done as kol adam l'kaf schus, you'll find them in that place on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, where all with lots and lots of dinei ben adam l'chaveru are classified and are codified by the Magen Avraham in Simen Kuf Nun Vav. You have a look at the Magen Avraham in Orach Chaim, Simen Kuf Nun Vav. So he has a long litany of different halakos, including Lashon Hara, including Be'akta l'reach ha'kamoch, Be'akta m'sager, of different types of halakos that clearly exist but are not necessarily codified in the Shulchan Aruch, and he just kind of gives you a long synopsis of many of the halakos, and he includes both of these halakos in that long synopsis. Is it a mystery d'araisa, or is it just a midas chasidus? As we said, there are clearly Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva records this as a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Gemara in Shavuos and Daf Lamed clearly records this as something which is derived from the pasuk of Betzedek Shishvot Amitecha. It's just a little bit of a question mark within the Rambam. Why is there a little bit of a question mark within the Rambam? So the question mark is that the Rambam in his Perush Al Mishnah refers to it as Midas Chasidus, refers to it as as something which is done as a Derech Chasidus. And the Rambam also in the Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam in Perek Hei Halacha Zayin just records this attribute of being done as Kol Adam Nekav Schus as one of the things that Talmidei Chachamim do, which also indicates that maybe it's in the realm of Midas Chasidus. However, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Zayin, clearly records the notion of being a Danis Kol Adam Nekav Schus as a Mitzvah Essay, as something which is included within the Mitzvah Essay Midoraisa in a Mitzvah Essay Kuf Ayin Zayin. So how do you reconcile the Rambam? So the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, when he rattles off basically all of the different... when he rattles off all of the different laban and essays that are implicated when somebody speaks Lashon Hara, so the Rambam also records that there is a problem of not being done as kol adam l'kaf schus, that a person who speaks who either speaks Lashon Hara because he interpreted somebody's actions disfavorably, or they're mekabel Lashon Hara because they assume the truth of the version, the negative version of what's being conveyed to them. So both of them are in violation of this mitzvah's essay of Tzedek Tishmot HaMisecha, that they haven't been done as Kol Adam L'Kaf Schus. So in the course of his commentary on the bottom, in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, so he talks about this Rabbeinu Yonah, and he talks about the parameters of the mitzvah being done as Kol Adam L'Kaf Schus. It's kind of interesting, because he says that he breaks down into different categories, roughly approximating the categories of the Shaarei Tshuva. He says that I basically got it from the Shaarei Tshuva, but he doesn't really talk about what to do if the person in question is a Rasha. Then he leaves out. He just like, he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah verbatim, the Shaarei Tshuva. Then when he gets up to the Rasha, he like says, he just kind of like leaves it, in the course of his discussion, so he refers to, because it could be that from his perspective, maybe the goal of the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro indicates that we should be charitable even in our assessment, certainly according to the Rambam, if you can, you know, find, well, if you see a Rasha who does something which is pure tzidkus, maybe he wouldn't agree necessarily with the formulation that you have to assume that it was a chova, even if there's no possible interpretation. But I don't know. That's just speculative. However, within the Rambam, he deals with this contradiction. He says, if you look closely at the Rambam, when the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah essay, he says, Danas chavercha, the kafslus. He uses the Lashon chaver. Chaver implies what? Chaver implies imchaver mitzvahs. So he says, that's the mitzvah de'oraisa. In fact, if you look at the Gemara in Shavuos, right after the drasha of Havei Adam is called Adam the Kaf Schus, also brings a drasha, I think in the name of Rabbi Yosef, that says, B'tzedek tishmot amitecha, only if the person is amitcha, if the person is amitcha b'mitzvos, so that's when B'tzedek tishmot amitecha. Then the Gemara goes on to tell a story of how that particular maimer is utilized, and the Gemara's story basically has to do with a Beis Din proceeding, that if you have a Talmid Chacham who comes to a Beis Din proceeding, that it doesn't mean that you give him a favorable outcome if he is, in fact, not the righteous party in the Din Torah, but that you should hear his case before you hear somebody else's case. That you give him sort of priority in terms of the scheduling of the Din Torah, and that's how that mimer seems to be interpreted. But it's possible, based on the placement of that mimer, does somebody want to pull out a Gemara Shavua so we can read it directly? I don't have it in front of me. Based on the placement of that mimer in the Gemara, that mimer is also telling us that the D'oraisa din, the Chofetz Chaim doesn't say this, but this is just sort of buttress what he's saying, that the D'oraisa din of Tzedek Tishpot Amitecha is referring to a case where you know that the person is in fact Amitecha. Here, this is the Gemara at the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph in Shavuos, Tana Rabbanan, or Tzedek Tishpot Amitecha, as I said, Shlo Yechad Yoshev, Yechad Omeg. You have a din Torah proceeding, you got to treat them both equally. Davar ake b'tzedek tishpot amitecha habeidanas chavercha l'kafskos. So it says chavercha, number one. You see the daraisa din, and that's the Rambam's formulation, is chavercha. And then Tani Rav Yosef, b'tzedek tishpot amitecha am she'itcha b'torah b'mitzvos. Hishtadel aduno yapeh. So the next line is that if you have an am she'itcha b'torah b'mitzvos, hishtadel aduno yapeh. And then the Gemara tells the story of Ravula Breid the Rav Ilai, who had a din, and then it was conveyed to the Dayan that he was a Talmid Chacham, and this is an application of that principle that his din should be heard first. On the other hand, you can also understand that the Tani Rav Yosef is going on what preceded it as well. That Am Shi'itcha, when do we say that there's a Doraisa din of Adonis Gavirach of Kavskos, when it's an Am Shi'itcha b'tov v'mitzvah. So it could be, says the Chafetz Chaim, that when the Rambam says it's a din d'oraisa, that's when we're dealing with a chaver, with somebody who is a yorei elokim, somebody who you know is a tzaddik. And when do we say that, when does the Rambam indicate that it's only a midas chasidus? So that's the case the Rambam explicitly was talking about in the parish, in his commentary, the parish of Mishnayos. He said the ikker case that's being referred to by the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, Habei danes ko ha'adam, the kaf schus. So that's talking about somebody who we don't know whether he's a tzaddik or a rasha. So the Rambam spoke about somebody we don't know if he's a tzaddik or a rasha. So it could be that's the case, which the Rambam held maybe was not a din d'oraisa. So he lists that as a midas chasidus, that a Talmid Chacham is even careful about such a case. What if the person's an adam benoni? So the Rambam wasn't necessarily talking about the case who was an adam benoni. Clearly, Rabbeinu Yonah is of the opinion that the obligation to be done, even in Adam Benoni, the Kaf Schus, when there's sort of a 50-50 possibility in either direction, Rabbeinu Yonah clearly was understanding that also is a Din D'oraisa. But then again, Adam Benoni is also Amcha, you can argue, right? That's he hasn't excluded himself the privilege of being viewed as Amcha B'Torah B'Mitzvos just because he's a Benoni. We assume that most people in the world are a Benoni, right? So therefore, that's not necessarily inconsistent either with the breakdown of the Chafetz Chaim between when it would be D'oraisa and when there's a possibility then we would say that it's only a amidas chasidus. Now there's a famous Yiddish expression that even though you have to be danis kol adam mekav skos, but zeinish kenar, that you also can't be a fool. That if somebody is standing with a gun and shooting at you, so you don't have to be down the cop's course to the detriment of your own self-preservation. That you see that somebody is out to hurt you, you have a right to protect yourself. The Gemara Nida and Daf Samach Aleph criticizes Gedaliah ben Achikam for not listening or not paying any heed whatsoever to the warning that Yishmael ben Netanya was out to kill him. When Yochanan came to him and told him that he was, the Yochanan ben Kareach came to him and said that Yishmael ben Netanya was out to kill him, Gedaliah said, Shekrat Adov, that you're speaking lies, I don't believe you, I don't believe any of it. And then the Navi goes on to say, Zim Yirmiyo, that sure enough, Yishmael ben Netanya made his way to Gedaliah, killed a lot of other people as well. And Gedaliah actually gets blamed for a lot of it. Why is that? Based on this principle that the Rava articulates in the Gemara Nida, the Hailish Nevisha would be the Kubule to the Kabule Lomi Bai, even though you're not supposed to be Mekaba the Lashon Hara, that you try to find some sort of a favorable interpretation, or you don't believe it 100%, but Mekash Lomi Bai. But nonetheless, you have to worry about it if it's a question of your own self-preservation. Again, here we can draw a distinction between believing it entirely in order to take action against somebody, but also taking precautions to protect yourself. As the Maharshal said, that at the very least, one is obligated, that Gedaliah should have, even though it wouldn't have been appropriate, says the Maharshal, for Gedaliah to have killed Yishmael based on Yochanan's advice. Yochanan wanted Yishmael, wanted Gedaliah to kill Yishmael. So it was in fact correct for Gedaliah not to listen to him in terms of judging Yishmael, to assume that he was really out to kill Gedaliah and to therefore kill Yishmael. But nonetheless, he still had an obligation, to take precautions that just in case it might be true that Yishmael was out to kill him. Nonetheless, it would be appropriate for him to take measures to protect himself. And certainly, Kol Shekein, somebody sees that. You can always judge somebody favorably. This person is shooting at me because they had a bad day. Or this is just some sort of a psychiatric episode. They didn't take their medicine this way. You can judge favorably, but you still have to protect yourself. You still have a right to self-defense under those circumstances. So it's important to distinguish between the obligation to be dying somebody the cops close, but also to take measures to protect yourself. And as the Yiddish expression says, Zeinish Kenar, that you can't be entirely naive either when you're dealing with these types of actions. Now, it occurred to me that there was, in fact, a third possible interpretation of the nature of the mitzvah being done as kol adam lekav zchus. So we quoted the two so far. We quoted the explanation from the Rashi of bringing about fostering shalom, good relations among people. We quoted the explanation of Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin that it's premised upon the notion of thinking favorably about your surroundings so that you will try to act in a fashion which is consistent with the norms that you perceive to be the appropriate norms of your surrounding. If you view everybody as tzaddikim, so then in fact everybody, you know, really will be tzaddikim. There is another possible interpretation just based on the Gemaras on Daf Kuf Kuf Zayin of Abay. So we mentioned that the punchline of all of the Gemaras is that there is sort of this this equivalence that is made between being done as somebody the kafskos and also receiving the reward that a kadosh baruch hu should be done the kafskos as well. So one of the questions that arises with respect to this issue is, what if somebody decides that they're going to be mochel? They're going to be mochel that they don't care if people are don lamakavskus or not. So are you then not allowed to not be don lamakavskus? It's a strange scenario. Somebody gets up and says, from now on, anybody who wants to judge me disfavorably, I'm fine with it. It's an unlikely scenario. But let's say so that such a thing occurred. So it's possible then that it depends on the timing. If you hold that the time is to bring about shalom ben adam lachaveros, so here you'll have shalom with the person, even if you judge him disfavorably, he doesn't care, right? If the time is that you should think well of everybody in order to uplift your own behavior, so then you should think well of him anyway. But it's also possible that even according to the first Tam, that it's to bring about shalom. So bringing about shalom is a ben adam l'chaveros. So we say that when it comes to ben adam l'chaveros in general, like v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, so the Rambam has a notion that when you do good to other people, so that's a derah, you're mevakeh cholim, you're machnis orchim, so this is a derabbanan application of ben adam l'chaveru. And they ask on the Rambam, what do you mean? Isn't it v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which is a deraisa? The Rambam says it's a derabbanan application of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So Rabbi Bleich has a very nice saying, Menesivus HaHalacha, where Rabbi Bleich says, well, actually, it is, there are circumstances in which it won't be a deraisa be'after the reacha kamocha. When is that? When basically the other person when the person who's extending the kindness doesn't care if it's done to him. I'm machnis orchim, but I don't care if you're machnis orchim for me. I'm mevakeh cholim, I don't care if you're mevakeh cholim for me. So be'after the reacha kamocha is you're doing to somebody else what you want them to do for you, but you don't want them to do it for you. So therefore, that's not a deraisa necessarily be'after the reacha kamocha. It says Rabbi Bleich, but you'll find that these same inyanim are recorded by the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos as a deraisa in a different context, not just a derabbanan in the event that you're not interested in reciprocation, but a deraisa of halachta bedrachah, of emulating in the ways of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So he says, when is it that you're emulating? So he says, that's why you have a derabbanan requirement to do these things, even if you don't care if other people do it for you. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu does these things, because this is the way in which the Kaddish Baruch Hu is Noheg himself, and we're supposed to perfect our mitos in a way in which we are emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it should just become part of our essence, that we should want to do good for others, we should want to be Mevakeh Cholim, and we should want to be Machnis Orchim, and so forth, in the same way that it's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, Lahavdil. So, therefore, that becomes the Araisa fulfillment of the Halachta B'Dracha. So we could say that so too, when a person ingrains this in themselves, that they're always being done somebody the kafskos, even when it's very far-fetched, even when it might not necessarily be 100% warranted based on the circumstances, but this is just part of their teva, this is part of who they are, so then it becomes a fulfillment of a halachta bidracha, of following the ways of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is no se avon ve'ober al-pesha, that if we are acting in this particular fashion, so then it becomes a kiyam on that level. Once it becomes a kiyam on that level, so then, of course, it would be applicable whether or not somebody cared that we be done them the kav skus. And then the bracha that was given in all these cases, it makes a lot more sense because of the fact that we're basically saying that we should be worthy of this midah of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, of being done the kav skus, because of the fact that we have inculcated this midah within ourselves. The same way we've inculcated the midah within ourselves, so too, Kaddish Baruch Hu will look upon our actions as well in as favorable a fashion as possible. And as we said, as favorable a fashion as possible is sometimes not only directed towards the past, but is directed towards the person's future potential. That even though you've slipped in certain ways, even though you may have not acted in a way where the presentation was as perfect as it could be, that through sort of a favorable perspective, certain things will be weighed, and the good parts of what you do will be amplified in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that you'll be able to build upon that, and that the expectation would be as well that you would build upon your good attributes, as well. It's interesting that there's one other Gemara in Perek Kol Kisvei that we had just a little while ago. I don't know if anybody remembers. It's a good test for how well you're learning the Daf Yomi on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. So we had a number of statements of Yehei Chilki over there. So one of the statements of Yehei Chilki was the mention of Yehei Chilki and Misha Choshen also Ve'Embo. That my Chilek should be amongst those who people are Choshen him, and yet whatever they're Choshen, it turns out that I was innocent of all charges. That's considered to be a very high Mila. So the Maharsha says, well, nonetheless, it is a person presumably does not want to be nechshad, because after all, it creates sort of a situation where you're putting others in the possibility of sin if they're not going to be danyu the kapschus, and so you're going to act in a way in which somebody should be hoshed you, so that itself is improper because you shouldn't put yourself into a position where somebody might run afoul of the requirement to be done the kapschus. So he says that the Gemara is only talking about where the person did not behave in a way where it would have, strictly speaking, warranted that anybody should have accused him of improper behavior. But nonetheless, people will koshate. So therefore, you didn't do anything wrong, but people will koshate you anyway. So then that's considered to be a mila, that a person got accused in that fashion and they were clean of all charges. So that's considered to be a high madrega. But says the Maharsha that it is improper for a person lahaviat smoli deksha, that you shouldn't act in a way in which there would be the possibility of anybody judging you disfavorably, because even though ultimately at the end of the day people are supposed to judge you favorably, but you don't want to create a scenario where anybody would have that type of a negative potential interpretation with respect to your actions. So even though people sometimes will falter and they sometimes will say things or act in a way where maybe there could be a potential negative interpretation. So just like we want, you know, others basically to judge us favorably in those circumstances, we should judge others favorably under those circumstances. And ultimately, through that type of an orientation and that type of an attitude, and then we become zoche as well. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look at our actions and say that the emphasis of the correct interpretation of everything that we do is on the side of the ideal human being that we would like to be. And if we see others in that light as well, then that also will enable us to bring out the best in other people, that they will accentuate the qualities which enable others to see them for good and diminish the qualities which cause people to maybe see them not so much for good, and then we merit the same type of treatment from HaKadosh Baruch. Yes?
What about the stories that we have on our page?